If you would, just let's look at Romans chapter 5 here for a second. I've been going through the book of Romans with one of the believers, and I'm very thankful to go through this thing again and just look on it. In chapter 5, you get a taste of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. You get to see that we are justified by faith in verse 1, that we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Absolute shalom. We have wholeness, peace. Not just an absence of strife, but a genuine inner spiritual peace. And that we also rejoice. We have access by faith unto the grace wherein with we stand. And then we are made at one ment with him, it says later on, and I believe it's in verse 11. We are, the atonement is at one ment. We are at one with God. He loved us so much, he gave his son even when we were enemies. And then the rest of chapter 5 is really a judicial, legal reason that this had to be done. From verse 12 on to 6, to the end of chapter 5, it's really a legal reason why it had to be done. The sin of Adam had to be paid for. That one man's sin literally caused death for all mankind, destruction for all mankind. And not only just for man, but we'll leave it at that. And what Jesus Christ did was, as it says in verse 21, it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of what he did, because of what he, his substitution, we can have that eternal life. That is just, it's mind bending. That first of all, that God would send his son. It's absolutely incredible that he would send his son, and the only man who never sinned against him, the only one who walked with him the way he tells us he wants us to walk. And he gave his life, and his son was willing to sacrifice it so that the father could have what the father wanted, which was a planet filled with people that love him. And the requirement was that we believe the gospel, that we believe the truth of the gospel, and that gospel is explained from chapter 1 to chapter 16 here in Romans. So, in light of all of that, how should we walk? Chapter 6 is what I wanted to share with you. Shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I want you to notice that this is a definitive truth, that Jesus was your substitute. He was the one that took the lashes on his back that belonged to you. He was the one that died on the cross, and you should have been there. He was the one that was buried, and you were buried with him. He was your substitute. So when he went through it, he did it on you, on our behalf. When he was raised, it gives us the hope that we will be raised. So, but it is definitive. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord, then you must believe that he substituted himself for you, and that the life that you now live, we're going to read this, is not your own any longer, but you're to live in newness of life. So, verse 3 says, know you not that as many of us that were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? See, this is not baptism in water. We were baptized in his death. He died for us. That's what this whole section is talking about. People take this out of context all the time. We were baptized unto his death. Wherefore we were buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He died. We are baptized in that death. We are immersed in that death. And you and I have to discipline our mind to understand this truth. We have to discipline ourselves. My old man, the old man nature it's going to talk about here a little later on, is dead. I am no longer the John McCabe who walked the streets of Astoria before he knew the Lord. I am a new man. I've got God and Christ in me. That's not just an add-on. That is a absolute restoration. What's a great word for this? Restoration. No, that's not even big enough. It's a new beginning. You know, we call it the new birth, but really the new birth is coming when we are raised from the dead and we're given new bodies, new minds. But there is a regeneration, a newness of life that is given to us when we believe the gospel. There is huge change. And we are to walk in it. We're to walk in that newness of life that was in Christ Jesus, because he paid for it. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, I love that word. If we've been planted, you know, later on in 1 Corinthians 15, it gives the example of the resurrection. How are the dead raised? And God's word makes known to us, it's like the seed goes into the earth, it corrupts. And what comes forth is a crop, a new plant with thousands of seeds that come with it, like a stalk of corn. So if we've been planted together in the likeness of death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. It is. It's not that it will be. It's not that it's trying to be. It's not. You have to reckon yourself dead to it. That's not who I am anymore. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am disciplining myself to be a disciple, to walk according to his ways, to his commandments, to what he taught, and to listen to the Spirit that's working within me. This old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And that's the sin nature. The beautiful nature that we were born with. Adam's nature. We are all the children of Adam. Nobody else. I mean, every single man, woman, child, I don't care where you come from, where on the globe you come from, you're a child of Adam. And you've inherited his nature, that sin nature that he had when he was so selfish and disobeyed the Lord God Almighty. And the result of that is that funeral homes don't go out of business. You know, people don't live forever. Verse 7 says, he that is dead, if you really believe you're dead, is freed from sin. If you really believe that that old man nature is dead, then you're freed from sin itself, the sin of Adam, that sin nature. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See, why would you believe that you're going to get up and be raised from the dead if you don't believe this other part? I know it stretches people. This is something that you're going to have to think through, and you're going to have to add it up. You're going to have to think it through to such a degree that, no, there's no question in my mind. I am dead to sin, and I will live with him. Knowing that Christ, verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, and death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, if Christ dies no more, in that he lives unto God. It's time for us just to live unto God. Likewise, reckon. It's an old English word, it's an old cowboy word, but it's think it through, reckon it, add it up. Regard. You have to truly bring this to your head and heart, and you have to bring this whole understanding so that you are absolutely, hey, my Lord died for me. I am dead to sin. I can do this. I can walk like him. I can walk in love. I can serve like he served. I can love like he loved. I can obey the Father. And it's a moment by moment by moment walk. Don't think about it for a lifetime. Think about it for the next 10 minutes. You're learning the word right here and now. Would the Lord pay attention? Would he be drifting off to someplace else? What do I got to do the rest of the afternoon? When the teaching's over and after we pray? Are you confident that God will answer your prayers? Are you absolutely know that you got access to Him? Do you know that there's no one who's going to condemn you? Christ, certainly not. He died for you. God sent Him. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to help. It's nothing that can separate you from Him. Nothing. Chapter 8, that's where it says that. Sin has no more dominion over him. Was Jesus Christ tempted? It says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. But he was tempted. To be tempted is not sinning. You didn't lose because you got tempted. You only lose if you succumb to the temptation. Verse 10, for in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. So likewise, reckon you yourself, also yourself, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let it reign. Don't let it rule as like a king in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Boy, you got to wrap your head around that one. Let's do 12 again. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Somebody's going to rule. Spiritually, you believe and walk. You believe Christ is your Lord. If He's your Lord, then He rules. If He's not your Lord, guess what? He doesn't rule. You know every day whether Christ is ruling or not ruling in your own life. Now, you can figure this out. I don't have to figure it out for you. It's not somebody else that has to take inventory. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, He is the one who is ruling. If He is not your Lord, then you're serving someone else. Guess who? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. We're in chapter 6, verse 12 of Romans. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield. Now, I wanted to look at that word yield. That word to yield means to bow. It means to bow. And I believe it means it's the same word that's used for worship. Whatever you bow to, that's who you are worshiping. When the devil said to Jesus Christ in Matthew, I can't remember exactly, and I want to look at it. So Matthew chapter 4. The adversary said in chapter 4, verse 8, again, the devil taketh him into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. showed him the entire planet and all the kingdoms on it, and the glory of them, all their power, all their wealth, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee. I will give it to you if thou will fall down and worship me. It's the same word. If you'll bow to me, if you'll yield to me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. And the devil left him. And that's another great key. Go back to Romans 6. If you bring the word of God to every temptation that comes your way, and you bring the word that's appropriate to bear in your heart and in your mind to the temptation that's coming your way, it is written. You know, once you lock it back into your head, the devil leaves. He's got to come at you from some other direction. Back in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion. Oh, let me go back to 13. Neither yield or bow or worship you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield, bow yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It's not to have. It doesn't have it. You got to surrender. You have to yield. You know, if you think about those old knights in the castles and stuff like that, they'd say yield. You know, in other words, quit. Submit to me. Well, people who submit to the old nature, they are yielding to it. It has dominion then over you. And again, it's the same basic word as worship. It's to bow. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What are we talking about? The grace of God to give his son to die for us? That's what we're talking about. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Are you going to spit in God's face for that? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield or bow yourself servant to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Look at that again. In 16, know you not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are. So let's get this straight. Ephesians says that we were obedient to the prince of the power of the air. Right? That's the devil. To whom you yield yourself as servant, his servant you are. I am either a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciple, and we together are serving our Father in heaven, or I'm serving the adversary. You know, in one manner or another. You know, there was an old rock and roll guy, Dylan, I think. He got into being Christian for a little while. I don't know if he stayed or not. But he had a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And if you look it up, it's pretty much what we're talking about here. There's no getting out of who or what you are doing. You are serving a spiritual being one way or the other. You're either serving God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by walking like our Lord, or you're serving the man who sold all humanity out to die and be miserable and have all the wonderful history that we have, you know, and that we've gone through. The fact that we needed a savior, because every man dies, every individual dies, and everyone is without hope unless they get the gospel. But you're going to serve one or the other. You're doing it right now. So you make your life, the instruments of your life, your body, your mind, your work. You know, to work heartily is unto the Lord, right? All these things. Everything. We just do it for the Lord. We take care of our families, our loved ones. We go to work. We serve. We take care of we do what we're supposed to do because it's right with God. So, but it's just a simple matter of, well, I'm not going to sell out to whoever you yield, whoever you bow to. I mean, that's how simple this is. You allow yourself, I'll go that way. Just tonight. That's who you're serving. But God be thanked. We were all, every single one of us, we were all the servants of sin, that old man nature. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You believe the gospel. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that God raised him from the dead. You believe that he substituted himself for you. And we have that doctrine. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. This is what holiness looks like, by the way. You know, you have these examples. This is the way it is. We are all individuals who have been under the command of the adversary, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We all have come to know the gospel, but before that, we were a mess, and we served. But now we choose to yield ourselves unto righteousness. unto holiness. Verse 20, and when you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. What fruit? So here it is. It is a way to take inventory. When you walk by the old man nature, how'd that work out for you? Yeah, that's what it's asking here. When you were the servants of sin, you were freed from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love it. See, the wages of sin. We're talking about Adam's sin nature. We're not talking about you screwing up today. We're talking about the totality of that sin nature. The wages of that sin that Adam committed is death. Just please keep the scriptures in their context that it's talking about. The same thing. The fruit that you have in your life right now, because you walk with God, access, peace, joy, I mean, all the wonderful blessings, knowing that you have a hope. You know, what'd that do for you? You walk in holiness because you're walking like our Lord. You're choosing to serve Him. And not anyone else. You're choosing Him. Every moment of every day. You know, Jesus said in the Gospels, everybody quotes this verse, but I mean, think about it. It's everywhere you read, just about. I mean, it's always talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's always got that emphasis of serving Him. He is the head, the boss. He is the one that I yield to, the one that I bow to. You know, but that, Lord, Lord, why, I think it says, why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not what I say? So the wages of sin. That's death, and we're talking about eternally. But the gift of God, everything that He has done, giving His Son, making our salvation by faith, so that we can enter into eternal life because we believe the gospel. And then, because we believed it, we can bow to Him. And you got to reckon the old man dead. I mean, chapter 7 gets into the law. So, how about, what do I do with the law that's been written? The law is holy, just, and good. But you couldn't do it. So, God gave you a Savior. And that Savior was the sacrifice, and He was the one that you are to be married to. He gives the example here in chapter 7 of a woman who is a widow, and she can now marry again because she is freed from the law of her husband. She's freed from that oath because he died. You're free from the Old Testament law because Christ died and you are dead with him. Not because the law was no good, but because Christ died and now you are to be married. Look at verse 4 of chapter 7. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The calling that you're called to is a much higher calling. And it's all about bringing fruit to God. It's all about loving him. It's all about keeping Jesus as the Lord of your life, of dedicating yourself to do your best. Everybody falls down. Everybody screws up. I do all the time. Not proud of it, but it happens. And just like it says in 1 John, I go to the Father, and I believe that if I confess my sin, my broken fellowship, that he is faithful and just to forgive me. But you know what? It requires me to confess it before him, not just blow it off. It requires me to humble myself and say, Father, forgive me. I did this stupid thing. So I love you all. Let's take a little bit of time now and let's pray.